Well, good morning on this, our Lord willing, our last recorded only service for Bethel Baptist Church. It is the 1st of July 1920. People said that I am a 20s man, but they mean 1820s or 1920s, definitely not 2020s. We're very glad to be here. We'll sort of miss our routine whenever it changes, but we'll be very, very happy to see everybody, such as they're able, to join us again in the service. We will be recording the service even whenever we start properly again, because there are some people that have expressed an interest. I know at least one person. I know Pearl wants to keep getting the services for the time being. And Alan isn't able to get out to church, so I'm assuming his position will not change. Alan, if it does, let me know. And Maslam and Georgina Fleckner, they will be not able to join us yet either, so we're going to keep sending them services as well. And of course some of Billy's neighbours and some of our my boy road neighbours as well. So on to the service. Before we get into it proper, I just want to give you the Bible verses or texts or references that we will be using our Bible reading this morning. Thanks again, Steve. Is from 2 Timothy chapter 4. That's the last chapter of 2 Timothy. And our service, our sermon, will be taken from Revelation chapter 3. So that's 2 Timothy chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 3. Of course, you don't have to go there now. You can turn there with the rest of us, or you can just press the pause on the recording and you can get there yourself at any time. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this new day and for life and health and strength. Lord, we just thank you for loving us and watching over us. We certainly do, Lord, thank you for your long suffering and patience towards us. And I know, Lord, I am sure that we try your patience from time to time, each one of us, Lord. I pray you this morning, Lord, for all the folks that I can remember, and I pray it's them all. And if it's not, just remember, Lord, I hope folks will remember that they're prayed for every day anyway. Lord, please look after Ling and Frank and Dr. Shang, and we thank you for answered prayer with Frank's accommodation. And Lord, I just pray your good hand upon Ling and Dr. Shang's business, that you would protect it, Lord, and keep them. Pray you too, Father, this morning for John Ritchie and William, and also for Christine and Mary Ann, for Paul, for David and Naomi and their families, for William and Rachel, and wee Lily Ann, for Aaron, for Reggie and Fiona, Lord. You know who they all are, and I pray you, Lord, for strength and wisdom and perseverance and patience for each soul. You remember Leonard as well, Father, and I just pray that your will be done in his life. I thank you, Lord, for bringing him low so all those years ago so that he would, in a childlike faith, accept your Son as Saviour. So, Lord, we thank you for that, but please put your good hand upon him. And not him only, Lord, but we also remember Rita's family at this time, for Elaine and Hilary. I just pray you, Father, please, that you would comfort them and their families as they mourn the passing of a mother and a grandmother. Pray you too for Esther this morning, Lord. I know she's having a bit of difficulty with some skin problems, so pray you please for a wee touch of healing there, Lord, or the wisdom for the doctors to find an appropriate treatment for it. Pray you too for her kids, Lord. I know that she would want for them to be saved, and I pray you, Lord, that you would convict them daily of all the gospel verses they have ever heard, draw them to the foot of the cross. And please look after Sister Karen too, in the wake of getting a big tooth out at the back. Remember as well, Lord, Brother Christie, and I prayed you'd bless and keep him and strengthen him, Lord, and give him wisdom and inspire him as he labours for the health service, and also, Lord, to finish his PhD. I pray you too, Lord, for Taylor Roth and for her mom and dad, Lord, for Terry and Lisa. I pray you, Lord, for salvation in that household. I pray you, Lord, you would bless Christy and Taylor, please, Father. Please be with Brother Norman, Lord, and just set a hedge around about him and keep him, protect him, Lord, from the fiery darts of the enemy. Grow, build his faith even more, Lord. Build all of our faiths, Lord. And please, Lord, give him the victory in his ongoing legal situation. Please, Lord, put your hand upon Mark Withington and his family connections. And please save their souls, Lord, but please withstand them as well. Father, please look after Pat and Steve. I know they have family members that they would like for to be saved. But please, Lord, I pray you for Steve, especially for his legs and his feet, for his current situation, his medical situation there, Lord. Please look after him. Please give Pat a measure of grace and heal him, Lord. Heal them both, I pray, at this time. We're not forgetting Carol and Stephen and John, Lord, and pray your good hand would be upon them. And for Maslam and Georgina Fleckner, Lord, for all those that have been and gone in Bethel, I pray your good hand upon them, Lord, that you would restore them to fellowship with you. And we're not forgetting, Lord, my dad, John Bradfield, Lord, look after him as he shelters in place up in Portadown and listens to the services. Please bless and keep him. And for Monica's mom and dad, we pray you too for Roger and Pat, Lord, and their whole family. Remember too, Lord, Norman and Noel and Joan at the far end of Maboy Road for Norman's health problems. For Norman that walks up and down the Maboy Road, Lord. For salvation, Lord. For Jane and for Corey. For Stephen and Anne Marie. Pray you too, Lord, for Henry and Evelyn and wee Isaac and his mummy as she prepares to have another baby, Lord. I pray you for safety and I pray you for salvation in that household. I pray you, Lord, that you bless and keep Carol and Harry and Marie. Just watch over them, Lord, I pray you. And Lord, for a healing, if it would be your will, that it would be known that it would only be you, for Sally and Sammy and Kate. Please look after Alan and Pearl. And Lord, for anybody that would click on the link or pick up the CD, I pray you, Lord, your good hand upon them, that this would be a help, not just to them, but to those around and about them. Please save souls. Please bless their time in your presence, Father. And Lord, we're just looking forward to lifting up your praises, to reading your word, and to preaching your word too. We love you and thank you, Lord. Please put your good hand upon each one of us. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. All right. We are going to begin this morning with hymn number 226 in our hymn books. 226 is I Found a Friend.
Find my heart. such a friend, so kind and true and tender, so wise a counselor and guide, so mighty a defender. From him who loves me, knows so well what harm my soul can sever. Shall I forget?
Acapella for you, although some people might want it to be acapellago. I think that's a little inlet somewhere in a far distant land. But amen. Amen. Right. Thanks again to Steve for picking our Bible reading this morning. We are in 2 Timothy chapter 4. That's 2 Timothy in the New Testament chapter 4. Amen. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou greatly ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding the Lord stood with me, and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Salute Prisca and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with thee all. Amen. And amen. Thank you again, Brother Steve. We appreciate the suggestions for the Bible reading. It's a funny thing that I was actually just reading one or two of those verses earlier on in the week. Amen. Amen. Announcements. Well, I suppose the big announcement is the relaxation of the government's quarantine laws. And Lord willing and all being well, we'll be meeting up next Sunday morning. I pray all of you are keeping well. And I pray everything goes well. I know some people still have shelter in place or whatever it is that they're called, orders in place, not to make life inconvenient, although I'm sure it does, but to just make sure that they get an extra couple of weeks of warning just in case this relaxation of quarantine laws and social distancing laws doesn't work and there is a further outbreak. Speaking of which, you know from the news that in America and in Leicester, is it? I think there have been a number of resurgences of coronavirus infections in those places where people just weren't careful. That have been up to silliness and flouting these government advisions. Is that even the right word? The government advice about just being careful about infection. I remember going to primary school. It's funny the things that stick with you. And being told by my mummy to wash my hands after I use the toilet. Or should I say being reminded. And wash your hands before you eat your food. And your face too. And brush your teeth after meals. Well, if only people remembered all of those things and cover your mouth whenever you cough or sneeze, life would be, I think, further along. We do need to pray much and be watchful for each other. It is very, very important. Please do pray for our government at this time and the government in America. It's funny, isn't it? In England and America, there seems to be the greatest number, and I think a few in Canada, the greatest number of people protesting about just not being able to get what they want. The last time I heard the best solution for that was taking the two-year-old and putting them over your knee and spanking them until they, as a preacher once said, until they start crying. Because that's the way two-year-olds behave. Please do pray for government regulation and government wisdom for all those countries that are having to deal with this. And please, friends, this is just a little taste of what the world would have been like if Jeremy Corbyn had been elected Prime Minister in the UK or if Hillary Clinton had been elected President in America. Please do pray for our leaders, and not just those leaders, but don't forget Kim Jong-un and Vladimir Putin. And I think it's Justin Trudeau and David Hurley pray for Hong Kong at this particular time as well, as China introduces slightly more draconian laws, more of the Chinese mainland laws into Hong Kong. I think they're having a bit of difficulty there right now. Please do pray for souls there as well. Please do remember the leaders in Japan and New Zealand and Africa and in Europe and the south parts of America. There is such a great need, not for money and not for economy, but for the hearing of the word of God. It reminds me of a little portion about the Lord sending a famine in the land in the book of Amos, not of food or of drink, but of hearing of the word of the Lord. And we're here right now, and we can see what that is bringing to our shores. Please do pray for each other. I would ask that you would continue to pray for the Gilbert family in Black Creek over there in America. They lost a wife, a mother, and a grandmother a few weeks back. Do continue to pray for Norman as he mourns the loss of his wife, Sandra, there at the start of the year. It only seems like a blink ago to me because my life has been quite limited recently. But please do pray for all of those that are mourning the loss of loved ones. The only thing worse than mourning the loss of a saved loved one would be mourning the loss of a lost loved one that you will never see again. Please do pray for souls to be saved. Are there any other announcements, Mrs. Bradfield? The Cousins family. Please do pray for the Cousins family that mourn the loss of a husband and a father of quite a young family. Please do pray for them. Yes? Right. Please do pray for Pat Hain. She's been having difficulties with her blood pressure. She was saying the other day after a week or two of me having a bit of a difficult time that It's just going to be that way. There's going to be good days and bad days. And it's humbling to get advice from someone that's better than you whenever they're not in such a good place themselves. But please do pray for Monica's mom. Please pray for me and Monica, for Monica especially. She has extra work to do whenever, on the days when I only feel like sitting like a knot in a log on the couch. And it is what it is. Please pray for those that are still in hospital with coronavirus, and please do pray for all those souls that have lost loved ones through this. It has been an interesting, a difficult time. It's a biblical time. It's mentioned in the Bible about famines and pestilences in diverse places. And you couldn't get any more diverse a place than right the way around the world. So this is in the Bible, but the Bible also says that things will get back to normal. So keep your eyes upon the Lord. Keep your heart filled with His Word. Always have a song on your lips or a word of the Bible. Make sure you get into church and get a bit of fellowship within, in quotes, government regulation. And take care of yourself. Pray like it depends on God, and then behave like it depends on you. I don't think there's anything else. Private prayer requests. I've had one or two requests about private prayer requests, and we're not mentioning any names, but we will be praying for those. I think that's about that, Mrs. Bradfield, isn't it? Okay. If you have any other prayer requests, don't forget and let me know on Sunday morning, and we will make a note of them, and we will make sure that everybody knows you have a private prayer request and to lift it up to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer and then we will sing another song. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this time. Thank you for loving us and thank you for your Son, Lord, for all the blessings you've heaped upon us. Lord, for the free gift of eternal life, for heaven and the assurance of it, for the ministrations of angels, for your word, for the power that's in those words, for the peace that passeth all understanding, for all the things that you have given to us, for all the things that are there for us, Lord. I pray you, please, that you would cleanse us and refresh us and grant our prayer requests according to your will. You know our private prayer requests. You know the needs our countries have. You know the hurts and the sore hearts that we have from missing loved ones, Lord. We pray, Lord, for these and for all of our needs at this time, for the needs of each soul, for each soul that takes a moment or takes a few minutes, Lord, to come before you. We pray, Lord, please, that you would grant their prayer requests, but all, Lord, according to your will. I do indeed thank you for loving us and for all that you have done for whosoever will. And Lord, pray for Sister Karen. She had a tooth that just didn't want to leave, Lord, out there at the start of the week. I pray, Lord, that you would heal her mouth and, Lord, set her back on her feet. I know it's not pleasant getting the equivalent of a wisdom tooth out. Please help her, Lord. Please be with Stan and the folks up in Bangor. Please be with Jade, very especially at this time, with Marky and Jeremiah and Samuel and Faith, for Stuart and Jennifer and Hannah, for Stuart and Iona, Lord, for their up-and-coming wedding. We pray you, Lord, please, that your will would be done. We just love you and thank you, Father. And we pray all these things, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. Right, we're going to sing another song. Hymn number 65 this time. Hymn number 65 is Just Over in Glory Land. Thank you. hopefully that may be the last time, well, last service, we will have to sing to an empty church. Not that we have minded, we're not singing to an empty church, just reminding myself, we're singing to the Lord and praising Him for all that He has done for us, but it's always nicer when there's more voices to be lifted up. Before we get into the message proper, I just want to make, there's one other announcement that I wanted to make regarding the reconvening of church. We have rejigged the layout of the church ever so slightly. All but one of the rows on each side of the church is still there, but Monica has very kindly for me put down family names on the rows, and I think these are the best ways of organizing the church in the time being, so that people that are together are able to sit together in the church. I know a lot of this might be just tipping the cap in the direction of government regulation, but just in case, each family has a row as near as possible to the rows that they used to sit on, and I hope it pretty much is, but amen. We're going to do it that way, and we're going to pray that everybody stays well, and if anybody gets sick, that it's not because of something that happened here in Bethel. Amen. Right. We're in Revelation chapter 3 this morning. Revelation chapter 3. And we're going to begin reading at verse number 14. And I want to spend a little while this morning on the subject of the three who's there. Or the three who's theirs. I'm not quite sure what the grammatically correct English is for that. But there you go. We were reading here not that very long ago, and I think we had one of our Bible readings was from Revelation 3 or Revelation 2 regarding the churches in Asia Minor. But we're not even going to be looking at them, even though we're going to be reading about the Laodicean church. Revelation chapter 3, beginning at verse number 14. The word of God says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word and for this time. I pray you, Lord, for your good hand upon every preacher of it and the full counsel of it this day, that you would bless and inspire and supply the words for their lips. We love you and thank you, Lord, and pray that you would open our understanding this morning or this evening. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, and for your Son, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, for your word, for the most noble of purposes, Lord. We love you, Lord. Amen. Amen. As we said earlier, this is the end of the two chapters at the beginning of the book of Revelation, dealing with seven churches in Asia Minor, every one of them but two, having many problems that necessitated the Lord actually threatening to come and take away take away their part out of his church, to remove the candlestick from the 7 golden candles so that they would not be part of the actual church of Christ, regardless of the title that they had over the door. In this particular one, it is speaking of quite a wealthy church with nice clothes and all sorts of riches. It was in Laodicea, and it was an area that was renowned for trade and for medicines, and of course for the very well healed. And God says, you know what, you're lukewarm. You're warm enough to fit in with the other churches, and you're cold enough to fit in with the world, but you're not one or the other. You're lukewarm, and I really can't stick you. So if you don't get sorted out, I'm going to spit you out. He says, be zealous. If you don't warm yourself up, you're done. And he goes on to use the things that they have put so much store in. He says, you think you're rich, but really you need to buy of me gold tried in the fire. And that gold, friends, is a faith in the gospel, the words of God and trusting in them. Goes on to say, you need those white raiment, be clothed in white raiment. In other words, the robes of righteousness that God gives to those that trust him. In other words, there's a lot of people in this church maybe not even saved. And you need that eye salve that I supply. Not the stuff that the country or the city is renowned for, but the stuff that I supply, the application of the gospel to your heart that shapes your outlook on everything. A little bit like that blind man that came to Jesus and Jesus touched him the once, and he said, I see men as trees walking. And he had to go back to Jesus again, and whenever Jesus touched him again, he saw all things clearly. That is what we need. We need to have the word of God so deep in our heart, it affects us. It changes the way we think of people and look at people, and it changes the way we react, because this church was just a worldly, self-absorbed church thinking that their money made them right. And just in case anybody, I'm not saying it's wrong to have money, but you're in deep trouble whenever money is all that you think about and is the most important thing in the world, because people have sold their grannies, their children, their belongings, their own integrity and fidelity and chastity for money. God said, if you're mine, you're going to be chastened. Sometimes you're going to have to be straightened out, but wouldn't you rather have me do it here and now and have you right than end up in hell and the lake of fire? At the very end of this little portion of God's word, he says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. In other words, listen to what God says. It is important. And I would think with the way things have been going this past 70 years that people would realize we're on the last lap. We've been in a marathon for the last 2,000 years, but we're in the last lap. We're in the lap that has Israel restored. We're in the last lap that has people so very much like the description of them in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 2 Peter chapter 3. People that are proud and covetous and boasters, despisers of those that are good, rebellious against parents, scoffers. We're in the last lap where the word of God said there would be a worldwide communication network so that we could have our wars and rumors of wars. So that every eye can see Jesus when, not if, when he does come back. We're in the last lap whenever it says in a number of the Gospels that if Jesus didn't come back, we would utterly wipe ourselves out. No flesh would be saved. We're in the last lap whenever all of these things are coming to pass and coming to pass at this particular time. Anyway, we need to clean out our ears, rub our eyes, pull up our socks, tighten our belts, and get stuff done for Jesus while there's time. But anyway, the verse that I'm really interested in this morning is verse number 20, our text, where the Lord likens himself to a man that stands at the door of each one, not just some, but each one of our houses. and says, I'm knocking. I am knocking here. And if any man will open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. In other words, God will make himself at home. And God doesn't come in to make himself at home to make our lives difficult, although it may seem like it. The adjustment period is always difficult. God comes in and makes himself at home with us to make our lives easy. Because so many of the things that we countenance in our lives today are actually hurting us. And believe you me, after getting out of hospital, I am finding things that I used to love were doing nothing but hurting me. Whenever you're minus an organ, you tend to be a little bit low in certain things. But I want for you to notice something. When the Lord said, I stand at the door and knock, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. He says, if any man. He doesn't put any prerequisite on accepting Jesus. Not skin colour, nothing to do with your money or your age, your education, your talents, your background, your history. He says the only thing you need is someone that will open the door to Jesus. You know, and especially over the past 3 months, 4 months, is it? 3 months? Anyway, 3 and a bit months, 12, 13 weeks. Most folks, whenever the door is knocked, they run. Because the post office and Hermes and whoever it is that delivers Amazon stuff, they know that when the door is knocked, it's going to be one of those guys. And it's almost like, they said it's like Christmas every day. And sometimes it is whenever there's stuff. I have stuff going out from eBay and the guy calls for that. And when the door knocks, I know I'm getting something or I'm giving something. But we run because there's something there at the door for us. Or maybe we go and take a wee look just to make sure who it is. Or we get a look as we walk towards the door. If it was the postman, we'd say, great. Or one of the various postal carriers, what have you got for us today? If it was the milkman, you would say, great, that saves me carrying those 4 kilos or whatever of milk home. That's nearly 10 pounds in weight. If it's the window cleaner, you'd be saying, great, I don't have to get up a ladder to clean the windows today and I'll be able to see what's going on outside. And in maybe more commodious times, if it was visitors, you would say, great, there's a bit of company. I'll have a bit of crack and a bit of a catch-up. But the sad thing about it is, when Jesus comes calling and we say, who's there? And Jesus says, it's me, Jesus. I come bearing gifts. I come bearing the milk and the meat of the word. I come bearing helping you to see better, the word of God that will help you to see things better. I come to be the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, to give you a bit of crack from heaven. I come to bring you heaven and the assurance of it, the reminder of a new and a glorified body waiting for you when this one is done. A reminder of being on the winning side. I come to bring you satisfaction, contentment, the peace that passeth all understanding. I come to be the person that shares and even bears your burdens. I'm coming to give you wisdom and understanding of how things actually are, to bring you the greatest of purposes, company forever, angels to minister to you, and a good book for along the way. Plus a whole lot more. Most people go, roll their eyes, deep sigh, and turn around and walk away with their shoulders slumped as if someone had just stolen their dog or run off with their children or their favourite tablet or phone. Even when he takes a moment and stands there, not in any hurry, because it says, I stand at the door and knock. He's not like us when we go out tracking. He doesn't like hardly stop and all people hear is the wee rattle in the letterbox and the leaflet drops on the floor. He stands there. He's not in a hurry. And he talks through the door and he says, it's me, Jesus. I think sometimes some people do the spiritual equivalent of running and hiding behind the couch. And they tip the blinds. And let me tell you something, friends, when you tip the blinds a blind man can see that you've tipped the blinds, even if they're not looking at them, because it changes the colour so completely. That's why they're called blinds, because a blind man can see you tipping them. And it's really sad. And the Bible records, the Bible doesn't say that most people will, it records that most people will never go to that door. They will never open that door. They will never invite Jesus into their lives. Remember what that little quote in the Gospels that the Lord said? Broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many there be that are on it, but straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. And those few that do never regret it. They never regret it now because they have the Lord with them the rest of their lives, and they will never regret it in eternity. It's really sad, you know, because if a pop star or a movie star or a football star or somebody that people fawn after came to the door and says, come on, let's go, go my way. There's money, there's fame, there's glory, there's drugs, there's women, there's men, there's illicit thrills, and there's no boundaries. Guarantee you, at least half the world would be away after them. The one that I used to use with the kids was, if Superman came to the door. Isn't it sad that so many follow Superman, but so few follow Jesus, upon whom Superman is based? And he's a good guy, right? Even though the world is always trying to tarnish his reputation to make him more acceptable. And if he said, come with me, I am indestructible. And we will have adventures, and I promise I'll bring you safe and sound. I think at least half of the world's population would be away. But when Jesus comes knocking, remember upon whom Superman is based, and that's another service altogether, who made the whole universe and everything in it, who loved us so much, even after he gave us the universe, he gave himself on the cross and suffered separation from God so we'd never have to, who orders the angels to come and see to us, and always has time to listen to us and guide us, who desires to spend the rest of our lives with us now and in eternity, who holds the whole of time in the palm of his hand, who's never wrong, even when the whole world disagrees with him. This Jesus who'll never leave us or forsake us, never leave us high and dry, who can order all the creatures, the weather, the laws of physics, and even the devil and his angels, who takes time to take pity on us, to talk to us, to reason with us, and to comfort us, who has a job with job satisfaction that is out of this world and the greatest retirement plan ever, who has guaranteed our place in heaven when we accept him, and of course a little bit of heaven to go to heaven in, who has proved his supernatural, time-spanning, omnipotent power over and over again, who has done these things and so much more and recorded them all in the Bible, sadly the book that the whole world and many churches hates, that we actually laugh at this guy, that we make fun of him, we curse and swear at him, just like Peter did, but worse. To sum it all up, we reject Jesus. You would have to be mad. So you would settle and go with a poor, pale shadow of an imitation of Jesus, but you wouldn't go with Jesus. You would have to be a fool. But I'm sorry to say, that man has raised foolishness to an art in these days. Do you know what? There's two more days that are coming. The day in which Jesus knocked on that door and we say, who's there? But there's two other days coming as well. We'll have a look at all three. The one is the day that Jesus stops knocking at your heart, the door of your heart. Because as the days go on and we get more entrenched in our rejection of Christ, our hearts get harder and harder the longer that they reject his call. And it takes a world-shattering action to change that. Another day is coming whenever life gets tough, or even in times of illness or sickness or loss. And we look around and we look to things that previously gave us joy and previously thrilled us, and we ask, who's there? Who's there to bear me up? Who's there to comfort me? Who's there to take me into eternity? And we find that our hobbies and our entertainment and our video games, our gadgets, our friends, our family, even our wives, our husbands, our children, our talents, our skills, our qualifications, all of those things are not there, because all of those things are things. They're things that time, the turning of the hand around that wee round face a few times, can steal away from anybody and everybody. And they will, and someday it will just be you. And you will turn around and you will ask yourself, who's there to save me now? Friend, if you're still alive, the answer is Jesus, and he will. But if you're still alive and you reject him even then, I am sorry to say that when the shoe is on the other foot, and when we end up knocking on the door of eternity and the other who's there is opened up for us, Jesus will treat us like we treated him. His answer will be, who's there? And when that soul shouts out, it's Mark Bradfield. Will it be that Jesus will say, you never took time to let me into your house. I'm not letting you into my house. I don't know you. You have rejected me. You rejected heaven for all eternity, and now it's too late. It reminded me actually of the account of Noah's Ark in the book of Genesis. Not the fable, not the fairy tale, the actual account of Noah's Ark in the book of Genesis. There was never any rain up until that day. The mist always came up from the ground and watered the plants and crops and whatever else. But whenever the rain started falling and then the water started rising, I can bet every single pound that I have and every day of the life that I have left that people were knocking on the door. Noah, let us in! And Noah said, but the Lord has shut the door and no man can open. It's too late. Matthew chapter 7 verse 23 has these words, which I hope you only ever hear in this service and in the Word of God, and not for real when you step off into eternity. The Lord said, then I will profess unto them that reject me, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, into hell and the lake of fire that is prepared for the devil and his angels. That last wee bit I added on, but that's in the Word of God. Or will it be, you took the time to accept me as your Savior. You repented of your sins and you turned from them and you turned to me. You overcame what the world thought. You overcame what your own feelings dictated and the temptations of the devil to accept me. You did it. And then you will hear these words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Do you know what, friends? It is a difficult life that we live in. And the Lord has said to us, I have so much for you. I have so many things that I want to do for you. I have, goodness, I want to make your life as easy as it can be. I want for you to remember the verses in Matthew 11 where he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you, do it my way. And you, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light, and you will find rest unto your souls. That's the promise of God for you. I know being a Christian is not popular, but it is right. And all those countries and all of those lands, all of those households and all of those individuals that nail their faith, run their faith, their faith up the flagpole, that stand up and be counted for Jesus, they have something that the rest of the world doesn't. And that is a loving Saviour, a home in heaven, and the greatest purpose so great that it was the only one that God chose to do whenever he came to this world, to seek and to save that which was lost. I wouldn't have it any other way. I am glad the Lord stood and knocked on the door of my heart all those years ago. I am glad he wasn't in a rush away and only knocked once or twice, because you know what, friends, then I would have been in deep trouble, because I remember there was about 10 or 11 years that the Lord spent knocking on the door of my heart, and eventually I opened and let him in. There is no better way to be. There is no better. In closing, there is, whenever you wake up from a nightmare in the middle of the night, and even as a Christian you can have them, and you say, who's there? You can know that it's just Jesus. You might be having silly thoughts in your head, but Jesus is there. Whether you're in prison, whether you're at home, whether you're in your own bed, whether you're in a foreign country, whether you're on the International Space Station, whether you get to be one of those, I was going to say lucky few, but adventurous few that end up in the first Mars missions. I want for you to know, I want to share with you a little verse from Romans chapter 8 and verse number 38. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us, those that are saved, from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I pray that whenever you ask who's there, when Jesus says it's me, saved or lost, because sometimes he comes knocking on us Christians again, wanting us to do a wee job for him from time to time, let him in. No one has ever been sorry that they did. And I can guarantee you, in 100 years' time, you will be dancing a jig, hugging the Lord, and being thankful for the day that you did. Amen. Thank you. God bless you for your good time and attention. We appreciate it. But I appreciate it in advance, virtually. We're going to close with... which one are we going to close with? What have we sung? Have we sung the Haven of Rest yet? Hymn number 138. 138. The Haven of Rest. Thank you. folks, thank you very much for your good time. God bless you. Pray you have a good week and look forward to seeing you very soon, the Lord willing. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for our time in your presence and together in spirit, Lord. Please bless the preaching of your word, the reading of your word. Please, Lord, I pray you grant our prayer requests and petitions, and especially our private prayer requests too, Lord, according to your will. Please save souls. Please, Lord, edify the saints. Please calm the savage breast, Lord. And, Lord, I pray you that reason and right would rise to the top. We know we live in difficult days. Please, Lord, convict greatly those that don't yet know you as Saviour. And, Lord, we just leave all of these things at your feet and thank you for loving us, for your Son and for your word. And we ask it according to your will. Amen. Folks, God bless you. We, Lord willing, will see you on Sunday. Amen.